Today on Garnet and Great.
Florida being the big opposition as it was in the preschools in Florida, and we had never beaten them. And then when they wore that never FSU, never a thing, that wasn't in their favor either. So we were ready to play.
Today, a tribute to Steve Tinsey, who recently passed away in North Carolina. What we'll remember is Steve passing for 28 touchdowns at FSU, many of those to the legendary Fred Biletnikoff. And no disrespect to Lee Corso and other Florida State quarterbacks of the 50s and early 60s, but Steve really was the Seminoles' first great quarterback. Together with Biletnikoff, they led FSU into the spotlight of major college football. At 6'5", Steve stood out on campus, especially with his Elvis hairdo and his instant recall of Presley song lyrics. Here's what Steve sounded like in our conversation a few years ago, recalling his days in Garnet and Gold. What was it about that 1964 team that made it shock the college football world and finish number 11 in the AP ratings?
Well, you know, it was just a bunch of guys that got together and they took what they had and they lost some NFL people in. Bart Starr being one of them, Sonny Jurgensen. And I think Bill Pearson was pretty good friends with Sid Gilman, and he wanted to run a pro-type offense, and we had some people there that could do that. And we learned how to read some defenses from those people and from the coaches also. And I think we surprised some people.
Well, did you realize that going into that 64 season, it was going to be something special?
Well, yeah, I really thought it would be. You know, in 63, we were close, but you know, there were some games that we should have won, we didn't win. But in 64, and especially you know, before the season started, when we were still in practice, we knew we had something special because we were yelling pretty good, and when you yell pretty good in practice, you know, before season starts, you know, you. Against your own defense, in which our defense was, you know, pretty darn good. We did well.
Now, do you think it had anything to do with that being the first year that you weren't playing two platoon football? You didn't have to play both ways.
It's hard to remember back. I remember we had a team that it was called the Chiefs, and they were kind of offensive defense. There was the Renegade team who was strictly defense. And then we had the Warriors, who was strictly offense. And I was part of the Warriors. I can't remember if that was 63 or 64. But anyway, you know, finally, you know, when, you know, we got our chance in 64, that, you know, we lost a game or two that really, you know, we probably should have won. You know, everything considered, I think that we
did pretty well.
Let me mention a couple of games during that 64 season and let you react to them. Homecoming, you facing top five University of Kentucky team, and you beat them 48-6.
We knew they were, you know, in the top 10, and they got us ready to play that game. And they came down to Tallahassee, as I recall, playing that game, and it was hot. It was hot, and it was an afternoon game. And, you know, we were used to the heat and humidity and all that stuff. But I think after the first quarter, I think the game was over. They were tired. And you could tell that they were tired. A lot of teams, you know, since then, when they play the University of Florida, University of Miami, or Florida State, nobody wants to play an afternoon game because of the heat. So they like to play a later afternoon or an evening game, something like that. But that particular game I remember because those, they were tired.
You think you guys were better conditioned?
Oh yeah. I mean, we had to go through that heat every day. When we practiced up there, you know, right next to the stadium, I mean, it was hot. It was humid. It was muggy. You know, after a period of 2 or 3 months of doing that, you get
accustomed to that, you know.
Later in the year, University of Florida comes to town for the first time, and you surprised them.
And I remember that. I think they had some kind of stickers on their helmets saying, never FSU, never. And it was always a big game. And I think the year before that, we tied them 3-3 or something like that. I really don't recall what it was. But that year, we had a specific little change of game plan that we were going to do to kind of upset them and cause their defense to do something else. And Bill Crutchfield, who was the offensive coordinator at that time, he put this in, and it worked out pretty darn good.
What did he put in?
Well, Blitnikoff was always a flanker on our offense, which meant the tight end always was going to go to his side. And in a Florida game, I think we lined up Red Dawson, who was our tight end in the backfield, and we shifted him over to Donnie Floyd's side and made Fred Blitnikoff a split end and Donnie Floyd a flanker. And then we had a few reads. If they were to rotate to spread, we'd go back to Donnie Floyd. But the strength of the formation was to where Red Dawson was. And most of the time they rotated back to Donnie Floyd and Red Dawson's side. So that left Fred one-on-one on the
weak side.
Bill Peterson Jr. told us that his dad heard that there was a bounty on your head by a Florida booster, but the offensive line stepped up that day and quote unquote, you could have worn a tuxedo.
I remember that day well, and it was just like you said, there was nobody that was going to get through that day. They weren't going to let anybody through. And Florida being the big opposition as it was in the preschools in Florida, and we had never beaten them. And then when they wore that never FSU, never a thing, that wasn't in their favor either. So we were ready to play.
But kind of the cherry on the top, you beat Oklahoma, traditional power Oklahoma Sooners, in the Gator Bowl.
We just had a real good game that day. I don't know. I remember one of the Oklahoma Sooners, he came up to me after the game. He said, you know, we played Craig Morton, and he had a day just like you did against us. Yeah, it was just one of those days where everything kind of fell into place. Things went right for us. Our defense slate graced like they always do.
Offense just came through.
What do you think made you and Fred Blitnikoff such a dangerous quarterback-receiver combination?
Well, it had a lot to do with the offensive line. You know, you have to have time to throw, and so I have to pass it on to the offensive line. Fred, being as great a receiver as he was, with all the ability in the world, great hands, I mean, great moves. He had everything. The thing about that was, if he didn't have time to throw the ball to him, it wouldn't have mattered. So really, it came down to the front five guys, you know, who did
the job.
But do you think there was a special combination? Did you guys work a lot after practice to get the timing down?
Oh, yeah. Well, we always worked after practice. We were there even before practice. You know, throwing the ball around, getting in the field, all that. And, you know, back in those days, we enjoyed practice. I mean, we'd like to go out there because I think we as a team knew we had something. You know, and the harder we worked, the better, you know, we would get. And, you know, we were throwing outs and ins and comebacks and ups. And not where Fred had a run, the pattern from the line of scrimmage, but basically he might start 15 yards down the field when I, you know, drop back. And then he would run the cuts, you know what I'm saying? So, and Donnie Floyd also, and Red Dawson also. So all those guys who were receivers, that's kind of basically how we did it. So the guys wouldn't get so winded, but so we could get our timing down to know, you know, where he was going to be at a certain time.
Were you close to Coach Pete during your time at FSU and after?
I guess as close as a player coach can be. But, you know, they had John Cota there. He had Bill Crutchfield there. He had, let me see, I think he had Don James there at the time. Bowden, I think, was the receivers coach. What Bill did, he gathered a lot of talent around him, which made Bill look good. You know, most coaches, that's what they do. They hire these people who are go-getters, who know what they're doing. And all those coaches I mentioned, and Bob Harbison, he was there. I think he was the offensive line coach. I'm going back now. I might miss some names. Don Powell. I can't remember. Maybe Don Powell was the offensive line coach. But anyway, and all those guys, you know, that I mentioned, they were all really good at what they did.
Do you remember anything about Bobby Bowden? Did he really have much of an impact on Fred's development as an ace receiver?
I think, you know, Fred, first of all, had great talent, you know, and, you know, coaches come in there and they put their input in. And besides that, they give you a game plan against a team that you were going to play with plays that they thought would work. And, yeah, I think Bobby had an impact, but But basically, the coaches and the players who played all had the talent to play. And the coaches just, what they did was give you a game plan that they thought you could win with the best players they had on the field, you know.
Well, you had some strong personalities on that team. Any stories that you can recall now that you probably couldn't have told back in the 60s or even the 70s?
The only thing I can remember from one time against North Carolina State, I ran an out and up to Donnie Floyd. And as I let the ball go, I got hit in the teeth. And I don't know if he knocked a tooth out of it, but there was blood coming out of my nose and out of my mouth. And I was laying on the ground, and we had a trainer named Don Falls. So he came out there, and I was still laying on the ground, and he said, are you okay? I said, well, you know what, for touchdown? I said, oh, hell. And I got right up and went on his line. Because I didn't get to see the play. That was one of the times that I didn't get to see the play. But Donnie Floyd caught a touchdown fast. And all he had to do was say, well, it went for a touchdown. All I remember saying is, oh, hell. Well, that's one of the things I can remember.
Everybody has their favorite Coach Pete story. Is there one that you recall?
And I remember one time we were playing Georgia. I think it was fourth down and one or 1.5 yards. He sent in a play, quarterback sneak. And I can't remember who he sent it in with. I said, what? He said, quarterback, I said, oh, yeah, we're not running that. And so we ran a turn in before I blended the cup out for a set. And I believe we won the game by 3 points. But, you know, I remember that. And, yeah, of course, he didn't say anything because the play worked. But there was no way I was going to. I very seldom ran the ball as it was. And I just didn't want, because the game was coming to an end. And if we didn't get it, it was on fourth down, we would have lost the game.
Did you usually call most of your own plays?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time, I remember one time that same game. It was third down and a half a yard or something like that. And I'm looking over to Bill Peterson for a play, and he wouldn't even look at me. I was just looking for a signal, you know, pass, run, what. And so, yeah, I called my own play then. But, other than that, basically, they gave us a down and distance on game plan stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like first down, this is what they like to do, and these are some of the plays we're going to run on second down. And let's just say plus five, you know, we have 5 yards or more to go. We were running this because they do this. And you know, back then, we did run our own plays, yeah.
Now, after FSU, you're drafted and signed by the San Diego Chargers, which seemed to be like the perfect situation because their coach, Sid Gilman, he's the guy who mentored Bill Peterson on the pro-style offense, right?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that we did, and we had film on guys like Lance Allworth and Don North and whatever was out there at the time, John Hadle, and all those guys. We had film on those guys, and we would watch film on what they did. As a matter of fact, our audible system was the same as theirs, and our checkoff system, you know, was the same. And a lot of our plays, the 90 series, the quick series, it was the same thing when I went out to San Diego. It was the same thing. I mean, there were some differences because in San Diego, as a quarterback, you had to call all the blocking for the line when you call the play. But see, back in Florida State, when you call a play, the blocking was automatic, and all the line would change the blocking as according to defense on a line of scrimmage. You know what I'm saying? So it was different in a way, but in a lot of respects, it was the same.
So how do you feel now about your pro career, both at San Diego, and I believe you played in the World League, too, for Chicago?
No, I didn't play there. I coached for the Chicago Fire. But, you know, it could have been a heck of a lot better. I mean, I wasn't very consistent like a lot of the guys are now. I mean, I had some good days and more probably bad days than good days. It's just a different game than college. It's just so much. Everybody in the pros has great speed. And those are really the biggest hurdle athletes really have to get over, because college, you have some fast players, you know what I'm saying? But everybody isn't fast. But in pros, most those guys got a lot of speed.
When you see FSU on TV today, do you feel some kind of connection to not just the program, but also the feeling of, well, a feeling of pride that you helped start that winning tradition?
Yeah, I was telling my son, you know, it's too bad because one of my sons, he's a big Miami Hurricane fan. And, you know, for 4 or 5 years there, the Canes were winning and, we called each other every time somebody would score. And for a while there, I wouldn't answer telephone. But then the last 2 years here, Florida State pulled him out and, he pulls the same thing on me. Now I call him and he won't answer the telephone. He gets all aggravated. But, yeah, I really feel like we were a part of that team becoming what they are today.
What are your best memories of your FSU career? What do you think about when you think back to that?
I think of the dorm days. I think of where I've met my wife. I think of the fun times playing in Tallahassee. I think of the guys. And I really can't even remember all their names. So I look at some of the pictures, you know, the guys that were there. In the dorms that we lived in back in those days, I mean, there was no air conditioning, and it just didn't seem to bother us. It was a great time. Plus, the campus, it was open. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't a building here and there. There was some grass around, and I remember the sweet shop. We would go there and play the pinball machines and stuff like that, you know. Just great memories, walking to class, didn't even have a car, and living in Smith Hall. Meeting my wife the second day on campus, orientation day, and walking in the rain. And even on the athletic table, we used to, what was it called? Seminole Hall. We used to, you know, eat our meals there. Just great memory. Every time I see Florida State play, I think back of the things that, you know, we did and things that we went through.
And Tensey's in at quarterback. He fades back to throw. Spots Biletnikoff, who cuts over from the right, snags the ball at the 5, and plunges over the goal line for the touchdown.
Garnet and Great is produced by Rich Holden, FSU Class of 71. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Noles!